And what we're going to do this morning is we're thinking about how sin enters the world. You see, the series that we're doing is a kind of helping us to have a world view, to understand the world, not how we think it is, but how it actually is as we read about it in the Bible. And so we're going to think this morning about sin and the ripple effects of sin that it has in the world. So I'm going to need a little bit of a help to do this. A bit later on in the service, we're going to have a kind of dramatized reading. And I have a script, and I need four actors to help with this. Now, I was hoping to have puppets this morning. We're going to do puppets and stuff, but the puppets couldn't make it because I couldn't get anyone to help me prepare the puppets, you know, and organize them. So we're not doing puppets, but we will still do the dramatized reading. So if there are four people who are willing to take part in a dramatized, you don't need to act very much, you just need to read the parts, okay? Anyone willing to do that? The service stops here if nobody volunteers, okay? Let's have one. Margaret, let me just get the scripts. I need to give these out. And what we'll do now, we're going to hear our reading, and if the readers could come up now, that would be great, our four readers. And this comes from the book of Genesis.
The serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman.
Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden?
Not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it, don't even touch it, or you'll die.
You won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil.
When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything. She took and ate the fruit. And then gave some to her husband. And he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God.
Just keep going.
Did you allocate God?
No, we haven't allocated God. Someone do God.
Make it work. This is improvisation. You know, we're getting into Edinburgh Festival here, and let's just.
Where are you?
I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid.
Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?
Well, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it.
What is this that you've done? The serpent seduced me, and I ate. Because you have done this, you're cursed. Cursed beyond all cattle and wild animals. Cursed to sleep on your body and eat dirt all your life. I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll wound your heel, you'll wound his heel. I'll multiply your pains in childbirth. You'll give birth to your babies in pain. You'll want to please your husband, but he'll lord it over you. Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from, don't eat this tree. The very ground is cursed because of you. Getting food from the ground will be as painful as having babies is for your wife. You'll be working in pain all your life long. The ground will sprout thorns and weeds. You'll get your food the hard way, planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in the fields from dawn to dusk, until you return to that ground yourself, dead and buried. You started out as a dirt. You'll end up as dirt.
God then threw the man and woman out of the garden and stationed angel cherubim and a revolving sword of fire east of it, guarding the path to the tree of life.
So, what we're going to do now is, I was at a concert last night, and towards the end of the concert, the lady who was singing did this thing where she said to the audience, she said, why don't you just all turn to one another? Turn to someone in the crowd that you don't know and say hello to them and introduce yourself. I thought, we do that at St. Thomas's. That's very good. And I immediately went, I'm not talking to anyone. I did talk to people around me. So we're going to talk to one another now, and I wonder whether we might take that reading from Genesis and think a little bit about it. I don't know if you've ever thought about what the consequences of your actions, the things that we do that have an effect on other people. You know, when we think about the story of Adam and Eve, it's a story about consequences. You know, they had great freedom, but the Lord said, don't go there, don't eat of this tree, there will be consequences if you do. So I wondered what we would do with that and how we might respond. So I wondered whether you might answer this question or talk about an experience where you did something and there was a ripple effect from it. So you did something that maybe you could, something that was good, you could start there and say, you know, I did this and it had a positive ripple effect, or something that you did that wasn't good, that was sin, that had a negative effect. Yeah, it's interesting, that ripple, isn't it? Or non-ripple that can take place because we don't do the thing that maybe we should do. You know, it's funny when I go into Edinburgh, you know, during festival time, you're driving along on the bus along Princes Street, and I always goes through my mind, you know, how many of these people know the gospel, know Jesus? Or I was in a concert hall in the Queen's Hall last night, and it just strikes me, you know, there are so many people who don't know the gospel message, and it's really important that we understand what the gospel is, that we don't just come to church because it's what we do. That's partly why we're doing this series. We're trying to give people, all of us, that big picture and realize what it is that God is calling us to be and to do. Sin has consequences. And sometimes we do things, we think we're doing something for the right reason, it has an effect. I'll tell you this story, it comes from the script that we're going to use with the puppets, if we'd done the puppets, and it's a story of Grandpa and his grandson, and his grandson's talking to his granddad and about all the things that the wee boy shares, the things that he's done and the ripples that have been caused by his bad actions. Basically, his sister wants a biscuit, and he won't share his biscuits with his sister. And he ends up chasing his sister out of the house into the garden because she's annoying him so much. They get out into the garden and Mum comes out, hears them screaming in the garden, and the back door locks behind them and they can't get back into the house. So they have to get a locksmith and it costs a fortune to get back in. All from the fact of this wee boy saying, no, I'm not going to give you a biscuit. And then the wee boy tells the grandfather, but I've also got into trouble because I've been really trying to help Mum. Well, why have you been trying to help Mum? Well, she's been saying that she's really fed up with the bank. The bank keeps sending her nasty letters and she wishes she didn't have to use the bank anymore. So I thought I'd really help her out. And the way I'd helped her out was by cutting up all her bank cards. So, you know, the things we do have consequences. That's how sin came into the world. That's how sin operates in the world. And that's the world that we live in. So we see it operating through money, how people use their money, their desire for money. We see it power. and control. We want to have control and power. That happens in the governments, and it happens in economics, and it can sometimes happen in churches as well. And we begin to kind of have a go and I hurt one another. It happens in relationships, and we got that in the Genesis passage, didn't we? The relationship between men and women, created to complement one another, equal in God's sight, both made in the image of God, to one flesh relationship. The relationship is somehow damaged, and their relationship with creation is affected by the decisions that they make to go their own way and do their own thing. And it sounds like a hopeless story. And the people around you that you work with, and the people that you see on Princes Street, and the people you go to concerts with, many, many of them will not understand the world as it is. They will just live each day as it comes, trying to make the best of it. And our calling is to try and show the love of Jesus and to show them the world as it is. That's a big job. It's not a small job we've been given, but we've been given God's help. Now, more about that in a minute, but it's important now that we turn to the Lord, having thought about all of that, and we sing. In worship. I don't know how you feel about singing. If you listen to the Radio 4 service, it was a brilliant Radio 4 worship service this morning. There was a brilliant service about the Gettys and the Sing project that they're running. We're going to be looking at that as we go into the autumn and the importance of singing. But it's really important that we worship the Lord together in song. And so we're going to do that now again. We're going to sing another song, and the musicians are going to lead us as we worship. So this is a really kind of tragic place that we find ourselves in. It's so important that we who believe understand the world as it now is, that it is fallen, it is broken, that it's fallen from that beautiful state that God had created it in. So we're going to think about this for a few moments. I've got five things I'm going to try and share, which hopefully will end in us being in a positive way thinking about the subject this morning. So the starting point will be this. It's always really important. The gospel starts with an important message. It starts with one line, and it starts with the message that God loves us. That's always going to be the starting place. You know, when he created the world, it was in his love. So he created the world, and when he looked at what he made, he made creation, he looked at what he'd created, and he said, it is good. And what he makes is good. So, you know, you have a beautiful, isn't that a beautiful big green Granny Smith app? You're all looking at it. I'm surprised, Sue, that you didn't take a full bite out of it, because it looks... It's good. We look at it, and it is good. When God looks at his creation, that's what he said. He loves what he has created. That's why what the Lord has created, we need to try and look after as best we can. You see, the gospel message has a little bit of an ecological message as well. It's all consuming. Human beings, in their sinfulness, we're busy trying to destroy the world, aren't we? We might not feel like that. Some of us here might not see the kind of ripple effects of previous generations, plastics and CO2 production and so on, but we're living in a world that's affected by human beings. If you want to debate that, you're debating the science, I think. The world we're in, the next generations are going to face a very different world. We've had one or two thunderstorms. I seem to think we've had more thunderstorms this summer than we would normally have. Anyone agree with me? Okay, are we going to debate that? But, you know, that's one way that sin is seen in the world. God loves his creation. We should love it too. God made the beautiful world we live in. He made this delicious apple. He made the first people, who the Bible call Adam and Eve, Hebrew for man and woman. And he made beautiful you and slightly less beautiful me. He made all of us, and he loves us. And the Bible tells us God loves what he has made. He loves each one of us with a love that is greater than anything else in this world. The Bible says this: we are the apple of his eye. You heard that expression before? You're the apple of my eye. Husbands, when you wake up in the morning, you say that to your wife, don't you? Darling, you're the apple of my eye. Because apples are beautiful and your wife is beautiful. Or maybe, wives, you get up in the morning and you say to your husband, husband, you're the apple of my eye. Did you do that this morning? Didn't happen in my house either. That's how God looks upon us. We're the apple of his eye. He looks at us. We are gorgeous. We are beautiful. You know, people talk about original sin, don't they? You know that concept? Augustine would talk about original sin back in the beginning of creation. Creation was beautiful, and then we had original sin that came into the world. And we know original sin is real, because if you have children, you experience original sin. Children don't learn how to be naughty. Now, there are some children with us this morning, and I know none of them are ever naughty. But your average child is, you know, they don't learn to do naughty things. They just do naughty things, agree? Yes? Or are your children perfect as well? Original sin came into the world. But actually, before that, there was original blessing, wasn't there? God looked at what he had made, and it was good. So we need to keep those things together, original sin, but also original blessing. God loves us. When he makes us, his desire that we should be in a loving, wonderful relationship with him and in loving relationships with one another. That is what God created us to do and to be. And we read in the beginning that Adam and Eve had a wonderfully close relationship with their creator. But things went wrong in that relationship. So that's the first thing. God loves us. That's the beginning of the gospel message. That's where we always start. He loves us. Second thing is this. We learn in that passage, we rejected God. God said, don't go there, don't do that. And we said, well, stuff that for a game of soldiers. We're just going to do our own thing and go our own way. We rejected God. Things went wrong with Adam and Eve when they chose, when they made a very bad decision. Very bad. Bad. I'm beginning to sound like Donald Trump. And I say, a very bad decision. They made a bad decision. They chose to disobey God and listen to Satan. God had told them, don't, not to touch the fruit on only one tree. There's only one tree. You can have everything else, but don't touch the fruit on that tree. But when Adam and Eve saw it, they thought, well, that looks rather good. I quite fancy that apple on that tree. So they choose to disobey God and they take it. And they, I've been wanting to do this all morning. Not had breakfast yet. Forgive me. Excuse me while I take a bite. It's nice. Do anyone want a bite? I'll share it with you. And they take a bite from the apple. And as soon as they eat from it, they realize, uh-oh, we've made a bad decision here. We've made a bad decision. And there were consequences of the decision. Suddenly, they find themselves ashamed of what they'd done. And they hide from God because the sin had affected them. The thing that they'd done in disobedience to God had affected them and indeed affected the whole of creation. You know, that which was beautiful is no longer quite as beautiful because it's got a bite taken out of it. Some damage has been done to it by my mouth, teeth. That's the consequence of sin. That which is beautiful is marred by the decisions that we make. So we reject God. We do that every day. We decide we're not going to follow him. And that separates us from him. That's the third thing that we might pick up from this. We're separated from God because of our bad decision to disobey God. Adam and Eve's relationship with God, completely broken. Completely broken. And so, they end up being separated from God. That which was one is no longer one. They're separated from God, and actually in some ways from one another as well. The relationship that they had with one another is somehow damaged by what they have done. Now you might think, how sad for Adam and Eve, but what's that got to do with us? And the Bible tells us that all of us are like Adam and Eve. We've all chosen to sin. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We're all separated from God. We've all chosen to rebel against Him in one way or another. And so we, like them, are separated from Him too. But the good news is, remember how we began? God loves us. God loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. And He wants us to be put back into that right relationship, even though it's our fault that that relationship was broken and that we're separated from Him. And so that's where Jesus comes in to the salvation story that we read about in the Bible from beginning to end. It's focused in on Jesus, who's the hinge of history. It's all about Jesus. God's rescue plan to put the two together again involves Jesus coming into the world, sending His Son, Jesus, into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. We've got to relate that to the creation story, John 3:16. And He put a sign in the sky to show people that Jesus was coming. Do you remember what it was when Jesus was going to come and bring salvation? The sign in the sky was a star. Remember? A star appeared in the sky to say, Jesus is coming. A special star. And you might know that inside every apple, there is a star. Did you know that? There's a star in every apple. Let's just bring, there should just be a star that comes up on the screen as well, an apple that comes up on the screen as well. If we press the next button, there we go. There's a star, and it reminds us again of the coming of Jesus. Jesus didn't enter into the world as the mighty, powerful King He is, but He entered as a baby born in Bethlehem. And like us, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, He was like us in every way and yet was without sin. He came to put right that which we broke. Jesus made no bad choices in His life. He chose well. He made decisions well. When He was 33 years old, Jesus is crucified on a cross, accused of crimes that He hadn't committed. 3 days later, He rises again from the dead and reigns now as King in heaven. And the Bible teaches us that when Jesus died and rose again, He did it to pay for all the mistakes, all the ripples, all the destruction that we have caused with our actions and our inactions. He paid for all the wrong things, the sins that we've done. Jesus came to rescue us, to make us whole again, to make us one again with God. So the question then becomes, why do we respond to that? You see, this is the message that we have to share with a needy world. We don't come together just to have a nice time singing a few songs. We've got an urgency in trying to help people understand this. And it's a holistic, perfect message. It covers everything. It covers identity. It covers ecology. It covers politics. It covers relationships. It covers economics. It covers everything, because everything is polluted by sin. So how do we respond? Well, it has to start with me individually responding. We're faced with a big choice. Do we go on rebelling against God, or do we come back to Him through Jesus and what Jesus has done? You know, and it all begins not with us having great faith. It begins with us beginning with a tiny seed of faith, trusting that this is what God has done. You know, inside every apple, there are little seeds, aren't there? Little seeds, which are like seeds of faith, I think, to us. They remind us of that this morning. Little seeds, little germs of truth and faith. Here's one now. Very tiny. Some of us will have great faith today. Others of us will have a little bit of faith. Some of us might have no faith. But the invitation today maybe is to take that step of faith, tiny though it might be, to recognize that as we come to Jesus, as we put our trust in Him, He gives us a brand new life. I've broken this apple up a little bit, but here we are. Here's a perfect apple again. Could be the same apple, but it's not. Whole, perfect. That's what God wants to do for us. Forgiven our sins. Put on a new track, transformed lives, lives which are saying, I'm going to try and live for Jesus. I'm going to try and make an impact in the world to help what He's created, to help others see who He is and what He's done. we place our faith in Jesus. So we have a choice to make. Do we carry on living our own way, or do we choose to follow Jesus, choose to follow God, to be in relationship with him again? It's a choice that faces every single man and woman in this life. So will we do something this morning to respond? I thought what we'd do is this. And we've kind of done things like this before, but this is a kind of individual response, and it's really for those who want to take a step of faith. They say, you know, Jesus, I'm going to, maybe for the first time, you know, you've come to church for a long time, and I've discovered in the last few years, you know, there's people who have come to church who come week on week, but maybe have never taken a step of faith, never taken a little seed and said, you know, I'm going to put my full trust in you, Jesus. I'm not just going to be religious. I'm going to really live my life for Jesus. And, you know, that's not something that just young people do. Those of any age, we can come to Jesus afresh, perhaps for the first time. So I want to make an invitation to you this morning to come and pick up a seed of faith. I did think about giving out an apple to everyone, but we're going to give out seeds instead. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing. And as we sing, we're going to, in fact, what we'll do is we'll sing that last song, again, the song we sang last time, just before. Can we do it again? Okay. And as we sing that, if you would like to come as a sign of putting your trust in Jesus, come and take a seed. And the seeds are here in this rather big and heavy pestle that I've stolen from our kitchen this morning. And take a seed. And then once we've sung the song, we're going to pray together. Okay. And this is just to mark a kind of step of faith. Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you again this morning. We're going to pray together, and the prayer will come up on the screen. I hope that will help us in response. So can everyone read that? It's got a little, the words have got a little bit smaller than they originally were, but it should be all right. So we hold this seed, and we remember that God loves us and wants us to be in relationship with him. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, with the small seed of faith that you have given me, I choose to believe that you died on the cross and rose again so that I can be forgiven and receive your gift of life. I am sorry for all of the ways that I've chosen to disobey you. Please forgive me. I now choose to turn away from living life my way to follow you. Please come and be my Savior and my Lord, and fill me with your Holy Spirit for the glory of your name. Amen. And let me pray for all of us as we say that prayer. Father, we pray that this week you would help us to live for you. We think of all our family members, all our friends, all our colleagues who know nothing of what we have heard this morning. Would you make us bolder with our words and with our actions? Would you take away our fear of rejection? Would you give us confidence in your love for us and the gospel message, the message of Christ and the cross and the resurrection and the new life? Fill us with your light and life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit now, that we might make Jesus known. And all this we ask in his name. Amen.